All right, so our unconscious way of breathing is one that is, it trends towards shallow. Now we might breathe more deeply when we're relaxed, when we're sleeping, certainly we breathe more deeply. But a lot of times we are very shallow, and it also reflects the amount of agitation or nervousness. So right now, if you will exhale and then inhale and count the number of seconds it takes to breathe in, and then exhaling, count the number of seconds it takes for you to exhale. And that's your starting. That's just you starting. And it's okay. So whatever it is, it could be very shallow, it could be extremely long, you're just noticing it. Because we're going to be noticing and pausing and breathing throughout the class. Now in your handout, our big topic is alternate nostril breathing, but we've got several topics within. I want to make sure that we have plenty of time to practice some breathing techniques. And it's good to practice every single day. It doesn't have to be very long, it could be just a couple of minutes. But if you just practice every day, number one, you'll create a time, you'll create a focus, and you'll find that those 2 minutes become very easy. At first it'll seem, oh, that's just very difficult to do that for the second hand to go around the clock twice. Oh my gosh, that's a long time to be doing something new and unusual. But you'll get better at it, and you'll start to make deeper breaths, and you'll start to work with your muscularity, and you'll start to work with your nervous system, and you'll find that one of the key reasons for breathing like that is to calm down, to help your body relax, to use it as sort of a transformation into a state of an open focus, a mind-to-body connection that would be meditation, basically. We're going to have plenty of time to practice, but of the breathing techniques that we're going to be working on today, we've done two other classes. We worked on the belly breath, the four-part breath. Those are some really great ways for you to do basic breathing techniques. They don't require a lot of effort, just, you know, breathing into the belly. Make sure that you're not tight with the waistband across your belly right now that's restricting you. Learning to engage all, not just the belly, but the sides of the chest, the lower back, and the shoulder blade area. That's the four-part breath. And then we did a breath where we were pausing during that breathing. That's in our second workshop. And then we did the sound breathing, which happens to be a very light sound. Ujjayi is just a very slight noise being made by the glottis ever so slightly restricting in the throat. And today, we're going to talk about alternate nostril breathing. But there's also going to be a part five, a part four, five, six, and seven, and maybe even more, as it just turns out to be the right thing for us to do, the right timing within our class, so that we get to both information as well as action. Now I talk about the correct posture, and that's always going to be at the front of your handout, because, you know, sitting with good posture, maybe a pillow supporting your back, so that you're comfortable, shoulders over the hips. Your neck is comfortable, but your belly line is open. There's nothing restricting the way that you breathe. If you prefer, you can be reclined on your side or onto your back. It works really great, all of those different ways. So right now, though, let's go through some things. In your notes, I've got about the pranayama traditions, and there are several different ones that talk about the stagings of the breath, the way we inhale, the concept of brief pausing, the exhale, and then a brief pause. And you know what? When we're just breathing, we're not thinking about it. We actually do have brief pauses in our natural breathing rate. To control the breath is to specifically pause, and sometimes we try and increase those pauses, but we should never be creating a situation where we are doing something that's causing us to feel like we're gasping, or we're becoming anxious about breathing, or we're hyperventilating. We're breathing so much, we're feeling that little tingling sensation around the mouth, or we're just starting to feel a little lightheaded. Those could all be indications that we're actually overtraining, overbreathing. And all you ever have to do in that kind of a situation is go back to your regular breathing rate, and it just corrects itself very well. So, right now, we at the first of the class, we checked our breathing rate, and there's something very interesting, and this one is, although it's not a traditional pranayama, it's on your the second page of your handout, and it's called pursed lip breathing. So this is going to be our first breathing practice together right now, is that we're going to do this one. And so I'll take you through it, and it's very, very simple. All right, so you're in your comfortable position. You're either seated, you're reclined on your side, you're on your back, whatever your position is. And I want you just to inhale through your nose slowly and deeply. How about into the belly, the sides, lower and upper back? You take a deep, deep breath of air. But then before you exhale, you just purse your lips like you're about to blow out a candle. And you blow out through the lips for as long as you can. And when you're ready, you take another breath in. So it's in through the nose and out through the pursed lips. Let's do about 4 or 5 of those, deep and slow. All right, let's try it together. So inhaling through the nose. And then exhaling. Inhaling again. Yours will last however long it lasts. Same with your exhale. You're trying to slow it down, but it lasts however long it lasts. Let's do about 2 or 3 more of those. You can do another one or not. But you know, one of the things that that's used for is to slow the breathing rate down. It just slows us way down, that inhaling through our nose, that exhaling through, just like we're so slowly, not real forcefully, but just slowly blowing outward. And it's given in a lot of first breathing techniques for those, because it's something we can do. We can easily do it. We've probably all blown out a candle before. And so we get that concept, and the idea is you just try and exhale through the mouth as long as possible. So it's going to slow the rate of breathing down. And because we're exhaling more completely, then our next breath in, we might draw in more air. So it's an easy way to increase the rate of breathing, the rate of breathing and increase the amount of oxygenation. But there's another reason for this. And of course, coming up on Monday, there are the restrictions that we all go out and we're wearing face masks. All right, face mask. And I don't know if you've been wearing your face mask yet or not, but they're a little bit hard to get used to. You put the strap around your ear. The face mask is supposed to be, you know, right up against your face, fitted close to you, which means that all the air that's coming into you is coming in through that mask, and all the air that's going out of you has got to filter through that mask. But if you're like me, some of that air goes up and fogs your glasses. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that. Oh my gosh, my glasses are fogging. You got to keep, you know, how do I deal with that? Well, this is an excellent way. This pursed lip breathing is an excellent way to create a situation where you're not fogging your glasses as much when you have on your mask. You're simply breathing in through the nose, through that mask, and when you're ready to exhale and no one will see you, you just slightly purse your lips and just out through that mask. Now, don't think it's going to send more air out that mask and be a contaminant to anybody. It is not. What it's basically going to do, it's going to direct that air out through a portion of the mask that is not going to back up and into your glasses area. So it is a great way while you're walking around, and especially if you're going to be in hot and humid air, it's a great way to not fog your glasses so that you can have a more comfortable experience wearing a mask, because we're going to have to get used to wearing masks. And so this is one of the things that we can do. We're going to slow down the breathing right now. You'll breathe normally, but if your glasses are fogging up, hey, just breathe out through those pursed lips, through that mask, and you're going to find that that actually does work for you. All right, so one of those methods of managing, but a simple breathing technique, and I like to have these. This is not considered a form of the traditional pranayama, but it is one that you'll run into, and it's one that's a guidance to those who are needing to slow their breath down and to exhale more. And oddly enough, we often breathe in, but we have a big reserve of ability within our lung structure, and so we don't end up exhaling all the air. There's already air backed up. We can't take a deep breath in because we're still full of air we didn't breathe out. So it's a natural way to increase the expansion and contraction of your lung structure. All right, so that should have been a fairly easy one to do, and I like to draw us into that easy stuff at first to calm us down and get us ready for more. Now, I want to talk to you a little bit, and I find this part very interesting because I find anatomy interesting. So I'm not going to read it verbatim to you, but I want to go over a few topics, and it's about the anatomy of breathing. And so we talked about muscularity in our first workshop, and that's in that handout. And then the second workshop, we talked about the chemistry, that you've got all these muscles that pulls the air in, but then that's not respiration. Respiration is actually a chemical process within your body where the oxygen is used by the body to create energy. And that's why we need it. We got to have energy. And the cells very quickly run out of energy when there's not oxygen. We do have a state of lactic acid that can develop when we don't have enough oxygen. But the oxygen has to be there so that we can create the energy within the body. And that's why we use oxygen, is for that. But the transport of that oxygen is sort of interesting, and that's my favorite little cell. I just happen to love blood cells because, number one, they're this cute little donut-y like shape. They don't have an actual hole in the center, but on your handout on page 3, you can see those cute, cute little blood cells there. The red blood cells are also known as the erythrocytes. And that's the most common blood cell. And they bring the oxygen to our tissue, but they do more than that. They actually pick up the used air, the carbon dioxide, from our tissue, and they transport that too. And so they're coming from the lungs, where they picked up a fresh supply of oxygen, and they're going to every single cell in our body to give off that oxygen supply, and then as well to pick up the carbon dioxide returning to the lung so that we can exhale that used air out and then draw in that new air. And so it's happening because of the structure of that cell, that red blood cell. They contain hemoglobin, so the heme iron is that lets it bind to the oxygen, and that's why they're red, because of that iron. They are these little concave discs, and they're that shape so they can travel easily through our circulatory system, so they don't get bound up. Now, they're created in our flat bones, the bones of our body, and they're created in the red marrow. And the numbers are just so fun and impressive. About 2.4 million new red blood cells are produced per second. That's how many are created every second. So right now, oh my goodness, how many seconds are we going to be in class together? We've created that many new red blood cells. When they circulate through our body, it's less than a minute for it to go from that lung to its farthest reaches of our body and then back to the lung again. It's like boom. And so that's one quarter of the cells in our body are red blood cells. And I love hearing about all these numbers. So we adults have somewhere between 20 to 30 trillion red blood cells at any given time. Okay, I would wish that was in dollars, right? Then we'd be all very rich. But we are rich. We're rich with blood. If you're in a high altitude situation, which we're not in lowland Houston here, those who live at higher altitude, they actually have more blood cells than those who live at lower altitudes. And if you were to travel from here up to, you know, let's say Colorado, someplace that there's a higher elevation, it would take you about 7 days for your circulatory system to get new blood cells, because that's about how long it takes for the blood cell to go from its little stem cell into a full maturation. And it only lives, those little blood cells, they only live about 120 days. All right, so they're not, they get all beat up, and then as they age, their membrane changes, and then these white blood cells, these macrophages, come along and they just remove them out, and they strip those out. And so about the same rate of removal is happening as creation. So we lose about 2 million per second. So there's this increase and decrease of just happening all the time. Now, much of the blood cell product is recirculated through the body. So we when we break it down, once those macrophages get to it, we use it again. Now, that's a standard, is everything's going well, but there are some diseases, there are some problems that are there. We've probably heard of sickle cell disease, and that's a congenital disorder that happens when the blood cell is not the right shape. It's, instead of being that little bioconcave, little disky, it's more of a sickle shape. And that allows it to block into the blood vessels, and that's one of the problems of sickle cell anemia. And there are other types of anemia too. This would be a low oxygen transport capacity for our body, and it could be that we have an autoimmune disease known as pernicious anemia, or aplastic anemia, that the bone marrow is not making enough, or hemolytic, the breakdown of the red blood cells. So there's different reasons for having the anemias, but that's basically saying that you don't have enough red blood cells to get good, adequate transport of oxygen through your system. Now, there's another disease, and this one is not congenital. It is acquired through the bite of a mosquito, a parasite, that has part of its life cycle in our red blood cells. They feed on the hemoglobin, they break them down, and that creates fevers. And if we have too much of a red blood cell, too much of the heme iron, polycythemia is one of those conditions. And I bring this up because the reports, and again, remember when I'm speaking of science in regards to what is currently happening with us, we're behind the curve, and all the things I'm talking about are things that I'm reading about and you could read about too. And they've said that the coronavirus in some ways acts a little bit like in our blood cells, like malaria. And so you could read to those. And if you want to know, hey, where did you find that from? Just, you know, email me and I'd send you the links that talk about that. And that some of the symptomology acts a lot like the polycythemia that indeed, because there is a breakdown of the blood cells because of the attack of the coronavirus on them, that we have a lack of oxygenation of tissues because the blood cells are being attacked. And that there's a buildup of these byproducts in our tissues. And so that's sort of interesting. And we don't know for sure if that's what's happening, but that's why I brought the malaria up and the polycythemia, because if you want to look into that and see how maybe that has some similarities of what we're seeing as far as the symptomology, it might help you understand it. Another thing that came up in the news is that certain people are more susceptible depending on blood types. And so blood types, we need these if we're going to have transfusions or organ transplants. And there's a little nice little chart on there that talks about the different types of blood groups that you might be in, group A, B, AB, or O. And not everybody knows what their blood type is. If you don't know what your blood type is, you're probably one of the more common ones, because you've probably had blood tests before. And if you were one of those uncommon ones, they would have told you about it. You would know already. And then one other interesting numbers thing that I find is that the blood travels through our system, you know, at various speeds. The fastest goes through the artery structures, and it goes slower through the smaller structures, and it's very slow through the capillaries, including the capillaries within our lung. It's a very slow movement. And then it goes through the veins. The bigger in the structure, the faster the travel. That makes sense. But on the average, it makes the round trip through the arteries and the veins within 60 seconds. And so it's almost as if when we breathe in and we give that blood cell the oxygen, it's like our cells breathe in at the same time and our cells breathe out at the same time. So we're breathing in and out through the system that is constantly creating this exchange in our body. And so if we want to have a more efficient system, what we do is we learn to breathe in such a way that we actually expand our lungs more fully, that we open up the capillary systems that are found only at those tiny, tiny little grape-like clusters in our lungs that are called the alveoli, the little grape-like structures. And so that's where the capillaries are. That's where the blood exchange is happening. And that only opens up when we fully fill. If we're filling just a tiny little volume just up here in our collarbone area, very little of the lung structure is being used. And if we learn to breathe more deeply, then we're breathing more efficiently. We're expending less energy. And so these are great things that we can do to actually maximize the system that we have, because we can fill up with 6 liters of air, but most of us are just taking a few cups of air at any given time. All right, so by working with our deep breathing practices, we can really work with it. Oh, another one, the heart pumps 5 quarts of blood around your body 500 times a day. It's like, wow, that's a lot. All right, so now we're gonna get into this tradition of alternate nostril breathing. And I want to reassure you, if you have any difficulties with some of the traditional breathing techniques, rest assured that through practice, things will get a little easier. And also, rest assured that you're not alone. It is a little difficult to catch on to some of these techniques. This alternate nostril technique is designed to limit the airflow coming through one nostril and increasing the airflow coming through another nostril. And the idea that if you've been doing it and you've mastered the technique, you can actually control the airflow with your mind alone. However, until we get that good, we're going to be using our fingers. Okay. Here's something else too. You might be congested in your sinus. And if you have blocked sinuses, if you gently blow your nose right now, so that's one thing that you're going to grab a Kleenex and just gently, gently blow your nose, allowing yourself to alleviate that blocked sinus. And don't worry, if your sinuses are so blocked that you cannot breathe out of one side or both sides at the same time, then just, it's okay. You're just going to practice some deep breathing today. Just breathing as you can. And we're going to talk about how to sort of maximize that flow. One of the things about this is, you know, there's traditions and then there's things that actually work as we're getting used to things. And in the traditions, there's a very specific way to use your hand to create the action. And there's more than one traditional thing, but in your notes, I show you the traditions and then I talk about a more reasonable way that you might be able to use it right now. But if right now you want to follow through the traditions, you control through, traditionally you would fold these fingers in, having your little finger and your ring finger like that and your thumb out there, and one would be on one side and one be on the other side. Now when I'm talking about nostril, I'm not talking about this part right here. You come back away from your little opening there, and there's a position, if you just try with one finger right now and just push, you'll find that you can close that nostril without trying to close it off right here and altering the shape of your nose. So you're just slightly behind, not in the bony area, and not at the tip of the cartilage, but right there. So just try that for a moment. Just poke it, and it's like, oh, that closed everything off. But conversely, if you take your finger and you just gently pull slightly away from that area, you're going to find that you can breathe in dramatically better. Whoa, that side opens up. So we're going to be using both techniques, both the gentle pressure and then the gentle pull during our practice today. Now here's the thing. The traditions, either that you use the little finger and ring finger on one side, the thumb on the other side, or sometimes the traditions say you poke yourself in the forehead with your other fingers, little finger there, thumb right there, until you're like, oh, I'll show you sideways, oh my goodness. That's fine. And if you want to do it the traditional way, it's okay to do it that way. But I find that it's a little bit of a complicator, and that maybe I'll do it this way once I get more comfortable with the actual routine of the breathing, because there's a lot going on. And the more we simplify things, the better. So I'll show you the two-finger method way of doing this. You take your index fingers, or whichever your favorite finger is, maybe you could use two, and you just come right here to either side of the nose. Again, you're just right off that little curvature there. And on one side, you just pull it open. On the other side, you just gently close it. And you just try and breathe in through one side. And then you just relax. And then you try it the other way. So you're going to close off one side and then pull, very gently pull the other side. And then you just relax. Okay? Just try that for a moment. It's like, oh, okay. You should have felt that when you closed off the one side, no more air would enter or leave through that side, and that the other side would open up just a little bit. And so, you know, you just try that. Try it a couple of times here. So we push it on one side and then pull open and then relax and then push it on the other side, pull open, try to breathe in. And I can feel one side of my sinus a little more blocked than the other side. Very common. All right. And so thus, if you have a little Kleenex and you want to just, you know, we'll try and clear the airway a little bit, you can see if you get a little bit less congestion. Now, as I said, I'm going to be showing you with the two-hand method, and I love on page number 6, that's just a delightful picture of a person. She's not actually doing the breathing technique, but the placement of her fingers was so cute, I thought, oh, she looks happy, we'll show that as the two-finger method. So this is a time where if you're going to practice it, you might actually do better in a seated position. If you're comfortable reclining and you can put your fingers right there, you're totally okay. All right, you be you. That is lovely. But we're going to go through a technique, and this is a traditional way to alternate the breathing in and out. And then we're going to do it in a way that concentrates one side versus the other side. And so that's fine. So get yourself comfy. And so you can either use one or two hands, your choice. You're going to be placing the pressure in that area that we experimented with, part of the nose just above the nostril area. And one side's going to push in and the other side's going to pull away. Okay? So get in position. And traditionally, you close your eyes. But if you want to keep your eyes open, that's perfectly fine. So what we're going to do right now is we're very gently going to close the right nostril and opening up the left, we're going to breathe out through the left nostril. So go ahead and do that. Now we're going to breathe in through that left nostril and gently close it, releasing the pressure on the right. We're going to breathe out through the right side. We're going to breathe in through the right nostril and gently close it and breathe out through the left and thing. Inhale through the left again. And gently close. Exhale through the right. Breathe in through the right. Gently close, breathe out through the left. Now just go back to regular breathing. Pause a moment there. Some of you have been practicing alternate nostril breathing for a while. Some of you is like, this is the first time I've done anything that weird. Great, all right, in both situations, great. Now here's the key to this. We're gonna be inhaling and exhaling alternately through the nostrils for a little while. We're going to be breathing in through the nostril we just breathed out through. Okay, so it's pretty simple. Once you breathe out through one side, you are then, when you're ready, gonna breathe in through the same side, close it off, and then when you're ready, breathe out through the other side, okay? It's gonna be very simple. And remember, you do it 2 to 9 times, you know, a cycle is getting the inhale and exhale through the nostrils. So let's take a period of time. Let's try it out. We're gonna do some alternate nostril breathing. All right, so we're in a very comfortable position. I'm gonna talk you through it as well. And you go at the pace that's right for you, so you don't have to follow along with me. And so we got our hands ready, or our hand ready. All right, so here again, we're gonna gently close the right nostril, and when we're ready, breathe out through the left. Breathing in through the left. Close left, and when ready, breathe out through right. Inhaling right. Closing, exhale left. Inhaling left. Closing, exhaling right. Inhaling right, close, exhale left, inhaling left, close, exhale right, inhaling right. Close, exhale left, inhaling left, close, exhaling right. I want you to try and do it on your own, just a few more breaths. And after your next exhale, just relax. All right. How you doing? You doing okay? You know, once we start getting used to it, it's like, oh, that was pretty weird. But it's not that bad. It's not that bad. As long as our sinuses aren't too congested. And if your sinuses were too congested, well, you know, there's another breathing practice to practice for that day. But we get a little more comfortable with it. We get a little better at it as we practice. So there you go. Now that's only one of these nostril closing techniques. And there's other ones as well, apart from the Suryanama. One of them is where we're going to be inhaling on the right side, exhaling on the left, and that's going to be the cycle. We just create that cycle happening over and over and over again, so it's even more simple. And the other one is we're going to be inhaling on the left and exhaling on the right. Cycle, cycle, cycle. All right? So I think we can do that one. So let's, if you're ready after a couple of breaths, and if you need to turn your audio on for a moment and ask me a question or something because something's not working for you, you're welcome to do that give you a couple of seconds to make up your mind with that. But it isn't that difficult, is it? It's like, okay, that wasn't as hard perhaps as we were expecting it to be. It's a fairly simple process and one that we can easily get used to. So, okay, let us then get ready, and we're going to do another round. Okay, but this time it's going to be inhaling right, exhaling left. So we're going to be switching who's the open side, all right? But we're always going to inhale on the right. We're always going to exhale on the left with this. All right, so let's get comfy. Let's get the one finger, the two finger, or two hand, or if you have a third hand, I don't know how you do that, but here we go. All right, so we're going to get in place. We're going to get ready. We're going to get comfortable in our good posture. We're going to exhale completely, and then we're going to block the left nostril, and we're going to inhale slowly and completely through the right until the lungs are full. We're going to block the right, open the left nostril, exhale through the left completely until the lungs are empty. And we're going to block the left again when we're ready, open the right, and inhale. Block the right, open the left, and exhale left. Block left, open right, inhale. Block the right, open the left, exhale. Block left, open right, inhale. Block right, open left, exhale. And I think you're getting that. I want you to try that for four more deep breaths. And then when you finished off that next fourth, fifth breath, whichever one, just come back to your normal breathing a moment. Relax a little bit, relax your arms a little bit. That's sort of a simple cycle. One side in, one side out, the other side in, one side out, the other side. It's not the, oh, which am I breathing in through? It's a simpler cycle, and you might find that that's slowing you down and you're breathing more deeply through it. It's comfortable. Fairly easy, and your rate of respiration each minute might be slowing down, and you're maybe feeling a little more calm and more relaxed as you're going through. These are some really great ways to be feeling right now, and that is good. All right. Okay, well, now if we were able to do it that way, let's see if we can reverse things. We're going to be inhaling on the left and exhaling on the right, okay? And strangely enough, it might feel really weird to do it differently. So let's get ready again. We're going to do another breathing practice, okay? We're going to get in our good position. We're going to have one hand or two hands. And we're going to have those areas ready to go. We're going to exhale completely. And this time, we're going to be blocking the right nostril and inhale slowly and completely through the left. Blocking the left and exhaling. Opening that right. Now we're going to block the right, open, inhale left. Block, open, exhale right. Block, open the inhale, left, inhale. Block left, open right, exhale. lock right, open left, inhale. Lock left, open right, exhale. Let's just continue on just like that. Several more deep breaths. After next breath or two, just go back to your normal breathing, normal and relaxed. And so how was that? Alright. Hopefully you're feeling like, wow, I'm really feeling calm and relaxed and capable and open. Or maybe you're like, eh, it's not working for me. Now, that's always the possibility. You're like, I just can't get a full breath in. Hey, that's one of the reasons I'm having us explore as many of the breathing techniques as we comfortably can. And we're only on the tip of the iceberg of those that are even the traditional. There's a whole bunch of them out there for us so that we can find something that we think, oh, that's not too bad. I actually like that one. Because you're going to like some a lot more than you like others. That's just quite likely the way of it. That's the way of it. And so if you've got some questions, one of the things that we've really not had time to get to because I've been packing too many things into a class is there's always a little bit of yoga that I have to go with it. Another question here, the deep breathing makes me want to go to sleep. It's a very relaxing thing. In fact, one of the great times to do your breathing practice is before bedtime. It's a natural way to relax the body and help you get into a very deep sleep. And you know what? You can practice it actually literally in your bed right before you go to sleep. And if it leads to you say, oh, I was going to practice more deep breathing, but I fell asleep. Congratulations, you did one of the things that you should do, which is get some good sleep. It's one of the healthier things that we can do. So I'm going to show you something, and I don't know if you'd be comfortable getting down on the floor, so I'm going to show you a simple twist, and I'm going to do one seated in a chair, because I don't know that everybody would get on the floor, and then I'm going to show another version of this actually down on the floor, because we have time for me to show that, and then I'm going to open up everybody's mic so that we can actually chat a little bit about some things, ask some questions. So I'm just going to move my chair back so that you can see me. And there's just bunches of dog toys around me right now because Trudy's in the room. And I'm going to be in a seated position as you could be as well, sitting in a chair. And I'm going to show you just a couple of simple twists. And twists are great, especially the ones that focus on the rib cage structure, because our spinal condition and our rib condition could actually be limiting the amount of breathing we're capable of doing. So if we're sitting right now, absolutely important is that we do not create any stress in our back. We're not going to tough it out or force our body into a position that it doesn't want to go into. So that's number one. It's got to be very pleasant. And second of all, I'm going to sit forward in my chair so I don't collide with anything in the back of the chair. So most of my sitting, and just my sitting bones are on this chair right now, so my legs are forward of it. And I'm going to make a long spine so that help myself out. I've got some space behind me now. I'm going to put my hand back on the back of that chair. I'm going to put my other hand on the opposite knee. And I'm going to lift my chest up. If we're doing anything else, I'm just going to pull my rib cage away from my pelvis to create some space in my vertebrae. And then very gently, I'm just going to twist my shoulder forward and twist the other shoulder back until I feel a very pleasant twist. And in this twist, I'm now going to breathe into my belly deeply. Try and expand it. And then very slowly, I'm going to exhale and unwind myself out of that. It was very simple, very simple. So now we're going to do it in the opposite direction. So now I'm going to take my other hand and just place it on the chair back behind me. This other hand's going to go to its knee. And the first thing and the most important thing, I've got to create length. So I'm going to lift up the spine, very long spine. And we're going to begin to turn one shoulder a little forward, the other shoulder a little bit back. You don't have to go any particular direction, just sort of creating a little bit of a twist. And end that twist, breathe into your belly nice and deep. And then exhaling very slowly. Now, what I wanted us to feel is that it was a little difficult to breathe in the belly, and the ribs were expanding a little bit too. And so that was a challenge. And of course, in a challenge, it makes things happen. Now, don't do anything that's going to make your low back or your upper back or your neck or shoulders or anything feel bad. That's the seated in a chair version of a twist. And I'm going to show another one where we sit on the floor. Now, you can do again what we did in the chair, but I'm showing this one on the floor because sometimes it's nice to lean away and pull a little bit away. So I'm going to come down onto the floor. I'm going to be sitting with my knees relatively wide apart and my hands back behind me. And I'm going to be leaning back. So this allows me to lean back and pull some of the pressure off of my low back and pelvis. I'm going to tilt my legs. I'm going to be going to the left, and the outside of my left leg comes down and the inside of my right leg folds in as well. All of my weight's on my left side. I'm going to take my right hand over to my left knee, and my left hand's just going to be up over to the side of me here. I'm going to lean toward my left to keep more of the weight off my spine, and then just degree by degree, I'm going to tilt my right shoulder around. Now, as I'm going into this, I'm going to try and breathe into the belly, into the sides, into the back. A nice deep, deep breath. And then exhale. I relax. I'm going to do another breath just like this. I'm just going to go into the twist. And while in the twist, I'm going to take another deep, deep breath. And then I'm going to exhale. I like doing things three times, so we're going to do it a third time. We're going to create a nice little length. We're going to inhale. And then exhale. And then we're going to do it the other way. So I'll show you the back view of what's happening. Again, I come back to the center. My knees are up and wide. My hands behind me. I'm lengthening. This time my legs are going to drop toward the right. Outside of the right leg comes down. Inside left leg. You can see all the weight is on my right hip. My left away. My right hand behind me. I put my left hand on my right knee. I'm leaning, and when I'm ready, I'm just tilting my left shoulder around, creating a mild stretch. We inhale, and we exhale, coming out. We do it again. We go into a very gentle feeling twist. We inhale, and we exhale. And then once again, we come in. If we did it just right, a beautiful little border collie will appear. And then we exhale. Oh yeah, she's got to find the toy basket. All right, so that was a gentle, gentle stretch. Oh, here's your little monkey there. All right, so I'm going to invite you, turn on your microphone if you'd like to talk right now. There's questions you might have. I see something else on the chat screen. Hey, girl. All right, how you doing? You gotta turn your mic on if you're gonna talk to me. How's everybody feeling?
Great.
Yeah? You know, a great thing to do right now, just for the moment, just, you know, as you're breathing in, count the number of seconds it takes for you to inhale right now. And then just compare that to the number of seconds it's taking for you to exhale right now. Is it a little different than it was when we first started our class? Noticing any changes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're starting to naturally breathe just a little more deeply, even when we're not doing a breathing practice. We're starting to naturally have just a little bit more breath capacity, and it only gets better. I mean, this is us getting started with things, and you just continue on. Now, who has some questions about what we did today, or anything else about the anatomy stuff, about what we just did as far as the exercise? Any questions right now? What about other techniques that we've explored in previous classes? Are there any, do you want to practice, we got a little bit of time here, do you want to practice any of the other techniques that we've practiced in previous classes?
I'd like to practice the sound breath.
The Ajayi breathing, it is an interesting practice, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's one that's, as I said, in order for people to truly pay attention to it, the sound of breathing is sort of magnified by those that are intending to let you know that there is something happening right here in the throat as we gently close off the glottis over the trachea area, and that there's a little bit of something happening. But in order for you to hear it, I sort of have to make it louder than it needs to be. And then the next person that learns it says, it's supposed to be very loud. And then that just keeps, you know, until you're just again Darth Vader breathing really, really loud. And it's really not necessary. We don't want to strain the throat in any way whatsoever. It's a little difficult to catch on to it, but the spacing of what we're doing is somewhere right in here, basically where your collarbones are, right in that central area. And if you place your fingers right now and you just sort of make a little humming noise, you can sort of feel the vibration right there. And so what I want you to try and do is just breathe in and try and make that area seem a little bit restricted, like you're just trying to, you can make it a little louder than it needs to be, and then exhale, trying to make it a little bit more of a noise. Now, a lot of times people do it by actually using their vocal cords, their, and that's not it. It's a slight sound. So it's an inhale, and you actually feel that you're restricting the breath just by gripping your throat slightly. And then the exhale. So they say the sound of the inhale is like a s, and the exhale is a. It's very slight, and it's mostly a feeling of restriction, a very slight restriction in the throat. So we're not trying to make an extremely loud noise. We're just trying to make a little bit of a grip. So try it again. After exhaling completely, see if you can just restrict, sort of grip your throat a little bit and try and breathe out.
Julie, I was told one time that helped me that it was like trying to fog a mirror.
Okay, that's a great thing. That's a good thing. So we're going to... There we go. Fog a mirror. Great idea. All right, so it's just a little bit of a... So there's just a little bit of a grip in doing it. So see if you can just, even if it's just the exhale.
When doing it, are you just breathing in and out of the nose?
Often it's helpful to exhale through the mouth.
I think.
But breathe in through the nose. And then exhale. Now you can do it through the nose as well during the exhale. But that's probably one of them, although it's one of the more well-known ones. It's probably one of them that takes a little bit of getting used to, because the idea of restriction is so very slight, and it's over a part of us that we're, you know, it closes when we swallow, but otherwise restricting it is just trying to get a little bit of tension right here in that part of the neck.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So we just play with it a little bit and it gets a little easier. Good. Any other questions? Now, as I said, this is not the end of our series, and you don't have to do every one of the series exactly in the same order. Next time we're going to be working with prolonged exhale, prolonged inhale, which is one of my favorite breathing techniques that we work on. And we'll have other things going on as well. So, you know, I'm really happy that y'all are enjoying some of these series. I'm trying to, as I said, combine as much science in as possible. By the way, Trudy does a beautiful Ujjayi breath. Do you hear her? There she's doing it, right there. Oh, that's a little louder than she needs to be. Hey, baby girl, come here. Yeah, I know. So, you know, as you have questions, as things crop up, if you don't, you know, if you didn't receive the handout and things like that, I also found a little mistake in the handout during the Ujjayi part. I'll correct it. If you need the absolute corrected edition, it's the mistake I found was in the part where it was talking about the exhaling. I was having you not inhale through the thing. So it's that last part, Chandra Vedana Pranayama. Exhale completely and block the right nostril. Inhales through the, it's supposed to be left nostril until the lungs are full. Oops. All right, so you can correct that on your own and I will get it corrected for the next version of that. All right. Excellent. Who else has some comments, questions, etc.? Remember, you don't have to say it here and online. You can also send me emails, etc. And if you don't have everything you need, let me know. The audio for this, I probably won't get it posted today, as it's turning out that it takes me a little while to get these audios completely posted, but I will be making them available to you as soon as possible so you can review through some things. And if you don't have the handout, and if you want to send that handout that you got to anyone, it's perfectly fine. You have my permission. In fact, I would welcome you, and I would welcome also if you would share this, what we're doing, with anyone and everyone you can, so that that other people can have a chance to practice this and learn a few things and understand a little bit more about what's going on right now, as well as ways that we can actually do something to make ourselves a little bit more healthy and also to reduce some of that stress that we're feeling. All right. Very good. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining me today.
Thank you, Julie.
Really excellent to have you.
Outstanding.
Wonderful. And we'll keep these classes going. So if you, I hear a little thunder outside. Good to see you all. Yeah, a little rain today. Okay, well, I am going to go ahead and I will hit the end meeting if you don't have anything else. And I will leave it so that you can talk amongst yourselves. I've been doing that here lately, and y'all can chat behind my back. All right, here we go. I'm going to end that meeting. Good to see you all, and I'll see you next time.
Thank you for a really good class.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.